Okay, thank you for your patience. The 49ers roster cuts rolled out late from the team. We gathered as much intel as we could ahead of time, and then the final 25 or so cuts all came at once. And of course, I had to sort them all out on the spreadsheet, and I had to make sense of everything so that you wouldn't have to do too much thinking. So we can go through everything. Here is the roster. It is filled with some surprises. And here is the first thing that I can tell you. This is far from a complete roster. This is just the rough draft. And I warned about this earlier in the day. The 49ers are going to make a lot of procedural moves over the course of the next 24 hours, but they actually have to wait until tomorrow to make some of these procedural moves to have the initial roster fully set. Now, that's, again, just the initial roster. It's going to be a living, breathing document over the course of the entire season. But this first draft was necessary. I'll explain the machinations. I'll talk about some of the surprises. And, of course, I'll lead off with some of the biggest news. A, Talanoa Hufanga is activated from the physically unable to perform list. That is significant news for the 49ers because it seemed like they might not push that too hard. It seemed like they may say, hey, stay on PUP. We can circle back week five. That would mean that Hufanga would have been unavailable for the first 4 weeks of the season. But Talanoa's goal throughout this offseason had been to be back for week one. He said not necessarily back for the start of training camp, but back for week one. And the fact that Talanoa Hufanga is indeed off of PUP and in that safety room now means the 49ers can continue a slow ramp up, but there's a good chance that he's going to be out on that field week one or at least week two, sometime before week four, because he is now eligible for that. Two, Dre Greenlaw officially on PUP for the 49ers in the regular season. So in the case of Dre Greenlaw, this was expected. He obviously hasn't been close to coming back. He tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl, and we saw that Talanoa Hufanga tore his ACL, which is theoretically a less serious injury, back in November. So those are the two injury maneuvers that the 49ers made. Now we're going to get to the 53-man roster talk for the 49ers. This is what it looks like. Now, if you want to actually see this spreadsheet, I could see that there's like 50 people looking at it right now. I'm sure as soon as I share this link in the comment section, it's going to blow up. Jose is even asking for it in the comment section. So there you go. If you go and actually look at this spreadsheet, you could scroll down as I will right here, and you could see all of the players that the 49ers have cut over the past 2 days. And I've designated if they're released as vested veterans with over 4 years of service time in the league, or if they were waived. All of that is included here. And then we have the actual 49ers 53-man roster. I am going to reformat this, but right now things are too hectic. Everybody on the left side of this dividing line has made the 53-man roster. Another piece of injury news that I didn't mention there at the top, Elijah Mitchell, the running back, who unfortunately has dealt with so many injuries over the course of his NFL career, has landed on season-ending injured reserve with an undisclosed injury. We did see Elijah out at practice the other day, but he was dealing with a hamstring over the course of training camp. The 49ers did not designate Elijah Mitchell for return. So we'll find out tomorrow when we talk to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch what exactly happened to Elijah Mitchell. But remember, this is his final year under contract with the 49ers. He's a guy who entered and really saved their skin back in 2021 as a sixth-round pick at the running back position. But he played through like five or six injuries. And health-wise, he was never the same after he gutted it out in that 2021 season. So he was a warrior who, you know, put his body on the line for the 49ers. And unfortunately, the injuries have just continued to trip Elijah Mitchell up. And now he is officially on season-ending injured reserve. So let's go through some of the machinations that the 49ers executed. And I could also, you know, maybe I should start with the big names, significant names that did make this 53-man roster as far as, you know, potential surprises for San Francisco making the 53-man roster. And they were running back Patrick Taylor Jr., the receiver Ronnie Bell, tight end Jake Tonjes, defensive linemen, and I call him Sam O because I struggle to pronounce the last name. And this he's made the 53-man roster now, so I really have to polish this up. Okoyinanino, linebacker Tatum Bethune. So for the purposes of this show, we're going to call him Sam O. He had a nice sack against the Raiders last week. But the rookie linebacker Tatum Bethune also made the team. In totality, the 49ers carried three quarterbacks, five running backs, including the fullback Kyle Juszczyk, seven wide receivers, two tight ends. That's a red flag, and I'll explain why. Eight offensive linemen, nine defensive linemen, six linebackers, six cornerbacks, four safeties, and three special teams players. Now, as I've said, the 49ers have always carried four tight ends under Kyle Shanahan, and they probably still will carry four tight ends under Shanahan. They're certainly going to have at least three on the 53-man roster. As I have emphasized and will continue to emphasize, the roster that you see right here is simply a rough draft because the 49ers have to make a couple moves. The obvious one, the obvious release that I think is going to be a re-sign tomorrow is Eric Saubert, the veteran tight end, who at this position where you only see two bodies right now, so it's a little lonely at that tight end position. Saubert was the number two throughout the course of training camp and the preseason. But here's the injury trick that the 49ers had to play. You have a guy like John Feliciano, who just underwent knee surgery, who made the 53-man roster, but he's not going to be available for a while. You have Ambry Thomas, who broke his forearm, but he made the 53-man roster. He's not going to be available for a while. The 49ers will, in all likelihood, move Ambry Thomas and or John Feliciano or both to injured reserve tomorrow to open up a roster spot, because that allows Thomas and John Feliciano to be eligible to return this season. Once that happens, they can re-sign veterans that they cut. And I think that the most likely spot to re-sign a veteran that they cut would be a tight end right here. You see Eric Saubert. They could put him in there. I'll erase his name in a second. And I also think that at cornerback, they can bring back Rock Ya-Sin, who was cut today. That's where it would fit. So I'm going to delete his name now because he's officially not on the team right now. But by tomorrow, something might change. You see teams make these sorts of maneuvers every year, but you have to look at the clues. And the big clue for the 49ers right now is that they currently only have two tight ends as we speak on the 53-man roster, which is something that will just absolutely not persist. Other positions, I could look at the numbers here for San Francisco. Seven wideouts. Well, people will say that seems like a lot. Well, it seems that Ronnie Bell forced his way onto the team, finished up well in training camp or, you know, the practice right before the cutdown. Ronnie Bell had seven catches. He also had that tenacious punt return against the Raiders. So they felt that Ronnie Bell was one of their best 53 players. Defensive line, it seemed that they had to carry an extra body. That's why they carried Sam O, because of the injuries at defensive end. They didn't put Yetur Gross-Matos on injured reserve. But as you can see right here, they need to fill in, especially if Leonard Floyd is a little ginger right now too with injury. They need to find a way to fill that gap at defensive end. So that's why Sam O made the team alongside Robert Beal Jr. They have six corners on the team, so I think that, you know, carrying another one like Rock Ya-Sin might be, well, here, Ambry Thomas is at that cornerback position. So they're carrying six corners with Ambry Thomas presumably headed to IR. So as soon as Thomas does head to IR tomorrow, you could just do a swap and re-sign Rock Ya-Sin, the veteran. And six corners is, I think, a fairly normal amount of cornerbacks to take. That's a really important position. But it's such a valuable position that you want to make sure that you maintain optionality down the course of the season. And, you know, even if you don't like Ambry Thomas, he's a valuable guy to have. If you are so intent on getting Ambry Thomas out of the building, you probably haven't heard the name Brian Allen, which probably means that you're late to join the 49ers bandwagon. But in 2020, they ran out of cornerbacks and it got ugly in like week five against the Miami Dolphins. They had to sign a guy to their practice squad. His name was Brian Allen. And then they had to activate him and he started a cornerback and he just got mercilessly picked on throughout that game. It was brutal for the 49ers. So you want to make sure that you keep the cupboard as full as possible at that cornerback position. So I'm going to go through this position by position for the 49ers because there's news everywhere. And I have some text titles prepared, but first we'll start here with the quarterback position. Predicted that they would take three. They did take three. They haven't announced the pecking order here yet. Is it Dobbs going to be the QB2 or is it going to be Brandon Allen? Right now, that doesn't matter until the week one game against the Jets. The 49ers hope that it doesn't matter at all season because that would mean that Brock Purdy stays healthy. But you've got Purdy, you've got Dobbs, and you have Brandon Allen in that quarterback room. No trades. This is as expected. San Francisco will hope to bring back Tanner Mordecai, the rookie tomorrow, who was waived as we did expect, but there is a chance that Tanner Mordecai rejoins the team tomorrow. Practice squad. He's got to clear waivers first. Running back. Christian McCaffrey is shaded in pink there because he's still coming back from the calf strain, but I think he's close to 100% health. I would expect him back at practice shortly. So you've got McCaffrey, Mason, Isaac Garendo, and then the surprise, Patrick Taylor Jr., but the other surprise that enabled Patrick Taylor Jr. to become part of this 53-man roster equation is that, unfortunately, Elijah Mitchell is on season-ending injured reserve with that undisclosed injury. So that is the one twist at the running back slash fullback position where the 49ers have consistently taken five players, including Kyle Juszczyk. I think they're going to try to bring back Cody Schrader, the SEC leader in rushing, the rookie at the running back position. But at first, he has to clear waivers. So Schrader and all those guys that were released are part of this list right here. This is the full release list. You see Schrader released, and at the top, Matt Breida and Keyshawn Vaughn were released out of that running back room. Schrader was waived, by the way, wasn't released. So Breida and Vaughn are free to re-sign to the practice squad whenever, if they don't draw interest from other teams to their 53-man rosters. Cody Schrader was waived. I would think that the 49ers, if they do need more bodies at the running back room over the course of this season, will turn to familiar names, the guys that worked with them in training camp first, if those guys are available. So you look at Breida and Vaughn for that reason. All right, wide receiver room. This is what we expected with the first six. The first six are Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, and Ronnie Bell. And, oh well, the first six are these guys right here. Sorry, I was reading a text message. Ronnie Bell is the seventh surprise for the 49ers. And, you know, it's not a shocker. I think it's a little bit of a surprise. It's one of those where Bell, I think, was struggling a bit through training camp. It seemed that he was juggling a lot of passes, bobbling a lot of balls that he ended up catching. There might have been a drop or two, but he was making a lot of contested catches. But some of the catches were more difficult than they probably should have been. But I do think that we saw tenacity from Ronnie Bell. I mean, this is a guy that put in a lot of work, a lot of snaps the other day. He was exhausted after Monday's practice, had seven catches. We saw growing consistency from Ronnie Bell. And I think what we saw him improve as a punt returner with practice over time. And I think that's really, really significant for the 49ers to see that upward trajectory. Whatever was going to happen at the receiver position, I think the 49ers were intent on making it as efficient as possible. So they wanted, especially with Brandon Ayuk holding in right now, like at tackle, Trent Williams is not on the 53-man roster because he's holding out. He's on the did not report list, so he's not taking up a spot. Brandon Ayuk, it's kind of the worst of both worlds for the 49ers because he's not practicing, not currently in line to play, but he's in the building, so he reported, so he's taken up a roster spot. No wonder Kyle Shanahan might be a little bit annoyed by that. So anyway, with Ayuk being an inefficient part of the roster right now, the 49ers needed to be efficient at the other receiver spots. And by efficiency, I mean you need to have multi-purpose uses for these guys. Guys, especially if they're not star players like Deebo Samuel, need to be contributors on special teams. So Chris Conley is one of the best gunners, I think, possibly in the league. I mean, the work that he did in the Super Bowl was phenomenal last year. And Jacob Cowing, I think, is going to be the starting punt returner. But just in case somebody like Jacob Cowing isn't ready for that as a rookie, if you'd rather throw somebody back there who's shown improvement over the past few months, Ronnie Bell is now an option on the 53-man roster. Now, the 49ers can also go to the practice squad, and I don't know who's going to be on the practice squad. They cut Trent Taylor. Trent Taylor is a good high-floor option. We've long predicted that that might be a possibility for the practice squad. We could look at other receiver names that they may have. They did waive Danny Gray today. I'll talk about that in a second. But the practice squad, the candidate who's cut that's been practicing punt returns has been Trent Taylor. However, keep two of the main guys on that have been auditioning for those punt returns on the roster in Ronnie Bell and Jacob Cowing. I know Ricky Pearsall has also been working at punt returner, but he's currently in the blue non-contact jersey. They're managing that shoulder situation. I don't think they're going to toss him in at punt returner until he's demonstrated that he's 100% back from that shoulder injury. So speaking of the receiver cuts, Danny Gray cut. I talked about that a little bit earlier. I don't think this was surprising. I think that we saw the writing on the wall a long time ago last year when Danny Gray was healthy but wasn't promoted back to the active roster after he'd been on injured reserve. I think that told you a lot about where he stood within the 49ers structure and in Kyle Shanahan's opinion. So he had one last chance to try to make a push to qualify for the team this year, but it didn't happen for the receiver drafted out of SMU in the third round of 2022. So Gray, I don't even think he'll be back on the practice squad, but who knows? Crazier things have happened. He's been waived. It's another reminder of the caution that we frequently try to give you. In 2022, against the Packers in the preseason, Trey Lance threw a deep 76-yard touchdown pass to Danny Gray. And I saw, you know, professionals, not just fans on the internet. I saw professionals saying that this was going to be the next 10-year connection at the top of the 49ers offense, Trey Lance to Danny Gray. Well, it turns out that you can't predict a 10-year connection on the 49ers offense between quarterback and receiver through a preseason game against the Packers. And that's what I tried to say at the time. And everybody was saying that I was just trying to rain on the parade. Well, sorry about that. I'm not really sorry about that, but retroactively, I have to say, yeah, it's probably best to cool your jets after you see something cool in the preseason, because, you know, legacies are made, rosters are determined based on larger bodies of work than one play in August, and neither Danny Gray nor Trey Lance remains on the 49ers. All right, so that's the receiver position. Why don't we move to tight end, where, again, it's a lonely situation for George Kittle and Jake Tonjes. So I have to call this the tight end surprise. I'm not all that surprised that Jake Tonjes made the 53-man roster. It's something that I had talked about. I am surprised that both Braden Willis and Cam Lotu got cut. It was interesting to me because I thought that Jake Tonjes showed a much higher floor than Willis and Lotu over the course of training camp and the preseason. He wasn't missing blocks. He caught everything that was thrown to him. And this is a guy that worked up from the practice squad last year. And also, this is really key. Whenever Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, took a veteran day off, Jake Tonjes, more often than not, would be his backup, and he did a good job at the fullback position. And I talked about this after the game against the Raiders on Friday. The 49ers auditioned Braden Willis at fullback against the Raiders, and the first drive stalled when Braden Willis was unable to block the defensive lineman in the backfield, and there was a big tackle for loss against Jordan Mason. That put the 49ers behind the sticks, and obviously they had to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown. To me, in retrospect especially, that was the 49ers giving Braden Willis one last chance to really prove his adaptability so that he would make this 53-man roster. And when he wasn't able to make that difficult block, and I get it, it's really hard to play tight end fullback for this team. It's hard to play tight end for this team too. But as one of the backup tight ends, you are the fullback too. Ross Dwelly used to play that position for the 49ers in the past. It's really, really tough to play that fullback position. Kyle Juszczyk is a masterful fullback for the 49ers. The blocks that you're asked to make against defensive linemen who are significantly heavier than you, especially when your target point is far away from you, these fullbacks have to cover a lot of ground to reach a guy who's heavier and stronger than them. It's a really, really tough assignment, and there's a reason why Kyle Juszczyk is such a highly regarded player, and it's a guy that I think the 49ers really need on their football team. So It was a tough assignment for Braden Willis. I don't think he did a great job with it at that fullback position. And I really thought that Jake Tonjes quietly did a great job of that over the course of preseason. That being said, this just goes to show the ruthlessness that the 49ers have to work with that I think has evolved over the years, because they can't just sit around and wait for draft picks to be the best options on their team, especially not anymore. This is Super Bowl or bust mode for the 49ers. And when you look at the rest of the roster, they're actively going out of the way to pick some of the most qualified players. Now, there's a couple of exceptions because they're going to have to make those wink-wink roster deals tomorrow. I think Eric Saubert's definitely going to be on this football team. But in the case of the tight end room, the fact that they waived and exposed Braden Willis and Cam Latu to waivers because they don't have those four vested years yet, the fact that another team can now scoop them up goes to show you that the 49ers did definitely value Jake Tonjes over them. I don't think they valued Jake Tonjes over Eric Saubert, but it's just that Jake Tonjes would have had they would have had to waive Jake Tonjes and risk him getting picked up by another team. With Eric Saubert, they can take him to the back room and they could say, hey, keep it quiet, but we want to re-sign you after we move our guys to IR tomorrow so those guys can be eligible to return. Anyway, that is the tight end surprise. Another dynamic of the tight end position is that Mason Plein got cut. That's not surprising either. I think Plein is definitely a guy. They waived him. They want to bring him back to the practice squad. So new to the game of football. He was on the basketball team in college just a couple years ago. Then he moved to the football team at Furman. I think a lot of what he does is natural for the football field, but playing at the NFL level and delivering at the NFL level is a huge, huge jump. But I like Plein's height at 6'7". I like the body mass and the potential ability to block moving forward. So we'll see where he ends up. You know, maybe the big question is, where does Logan Thomas end up? Because they had Thomas early in camp, then they cut him, and then they brought him back a few days ago saying that they definitely want him on the team. But they didn't specify if they wanted Logan Thomas on the 53-man or if they want him on the practice squad. And Logan Thomas got 55 passes last season for Washington. So he obviously would be somebody that can raise the ceiling at the tight end two position when it comes to receiving the football. But he hadn't ever blocked or been asked to block the way that the 49ers asked their tight ends to block. So I see Logan Thomas, even though he's an older player, as a developmental tight end for the 49ers. And I'm curious to see if they bring him back on the 53 or on the practice squad. They've always carried four on the 53 before. So I am very, very intrigued to see if they carry four on the 53 again, and if it's going to be Logan Thomas re-signed alongside Eric Saubert re-signed, because the Saubert one, I think, is a no-brainer for the 49ers after the surprising cuts of Cam Latu and Braden Willis. And I don't think that either one of those cuts in a vacuum is surprising. I think that they're surprising as both of them happened. And the 49ers just showed, okay, this is a ruthless situation. If Jake Tonjes and Eric Saubert and Logan Thomas are better, we're going to have to cut you guys. We don't have any more runway for developmental room right now. And, a lot of people are saying, between Danny Gray, a third rounder getting cut, and Cam Latu, a third rounder getting cut, a lot of people are acting like that's highly unusual. Let's put some perspective on that. The hit rate on third round picks in the NFL is about 20%. The hit rate on first round picks is only about 55%. Anything after the first round for all teams in the entire NFL has under a 50% hit rate. So the draft is inherently a crapshoot. It's not some massive tragedy when you have to waive a third round pick. In fact, it's the norm. It's way more common than not that third round picks don't make it in the NFL. It's a brutal, brutal business for the players involved, because it's really hard to grab some of those limited spots. And if you're a third round draft pick, it's not like you went up in the first 20 picks of the event. You're down there near pick 100 as a third round draft pick. And obviously that's why the hit rate of those picks is lower. In the case of Latu, I did talk a lot about his improvement. And he definitely did improve from year one to year two, definitely became a much better receiver of the football. I think that there's a lot to like about his big frame as a potential blocker. He did take out two guys on the 93-yard return from Isaac Garendo. But if you think that Jake Tongis is a better all-around tight end, if you think that's a more stable presence in there, if you think that you're going to get more from Eric Saubert and potentially even Logan Thomas, who caught 55 passes for Washington last year, you've got to move on. And maybe you can get Latu back on the practice squad if you feel that there still is development to be made there. But first, he's going to have to clear waivers, and the 49ers obviously deemed that it was worth the risk to expose both Latu and Braden Willis to waivers. All right, we're done with the tight end surprise. Now we go back to our instant reaction. We go back to the 53-man roster. Offensive line. So no Trent Williams because he's on the did not report list. I talked about Trent and the contract situation earlier. You can check out the other video for that. We're going through the 53-man roster for this one. You've got Jalen Moore taking up that spot at left tackle and Colton McKivitz taking up the spot at right tackle. Only two tackles on this 49ers 53-man roster, which is another hint that the roster is not complete yet. They're going to have to find a swing tackle. Maybe they're very, very confident that Trent Williams will be back very soon. That would be great news for the 49ers and everybody involved with them because that would mean that Jalen Moore is naturally your swing tackle. As you could tell, they have loaded up on interior linemen, but one of them is on IR. So that's John Feliciano. Injured reserve for Feliciano. Projected to injured reserve. That's because he just underwent the knee surgery. They want Feliciano to return this season. But to do that, he needed to make the initial 53-man roster. So he's taken up a spot, and he won't be taking up a spot as soon as they move him to IR tomorrow. That means that another O-line spot technically opens up or a spot for Eric Saubert opens up. Whenever Trent Williams does end his holdout, well, he's going to have to take up a spot as well. So basically, as you can tell, there's still a lot in progress at offensive line. Now let's look to see who the 49ers cut because I think they had to grit their teeth with some of these cuts. Chris Hubbard was the veteran offensive tackle. He was released alongside Brandon Parker. I don't think those are the ones that really concern the 49ers, but I think Jared Kingston, the rookie offensive lineman, was really good in the preseason. I don't think that was an easy cut to make, and I don't think that Drake Nugent was an easy cut to make. Last year, the 49ers had a standout young offensive lineman in the building. His name was Ilm Manning. They hoped that he would clear waivers so they could re-sign him to the practice squad. Unfortunately, the Arizona Cardinals poached Ilm Manning. This year, the 49ers hope that nobody poaches Jared Kingston and nobody poaches Drake Nugent. I don't think the 49ers would be very happy about me talking about Drake Nugent and Jared Kingston right now, but I'm not part of the 49ers and I'm just covering the team, so I don't care. I'll talk about Drake Nugent and I'll talk about Jared Kingston. Drake Nugent, 59 snaps over the course of the preseason at center, only gave up one pressure. Jared Kingston, 84 snaps over the course of the preseason, only gave up two pressures. Both of these guys showed great poise and good pass protection. And as Kyle Shanahan himself said, they showed real improvement over the course of the preseason. The 49ers will hold their breath now over the next several hours until tomorrow and see if they can bring Kingston and Drake Nugent back into the building. If they're able to do that, that would be a very, very big win for them. But the problem is there's just a shortage of offensive linemen around the league in general. And with Trent Williams currently out and the 49ers needing to keep as much experience depth as possible at all positions, they simply didn't have room on the roster to carry both of those guys, or even one of those guys would have been tough. So we'll see what the move is tomorrow when the 49ers are able to clear up some space when John Feliciano goes to injured reserve. But I see some vested veterans needing to come back to this roster. And I also see that Kingston and Drake Nugent will have to clear waivers before the 49ers can even think about bringing them back to the 16-man practice squad. All right, we head down to the defensive line where the 49ers carried nine. I expected these first eight, and then I was wondering, okay, well, since you've got injuries to Yetur Gross-Matos and Leonard Floyd, do you need to beef up the defensive end position? Floyd is day-to-day. Yetur Gross-Matos is week-to-week. And yes, they said we do need to beef up the edge rushing position, and they brought Sam Oh aboard. Sam Oh is the defensive end at that spot opposite the Leo. He's and I'm saying Sam Oh because I don't want to mispronounce his name. I'm going to work on it. He had a nice sack against the Raiders on Friday in the two-minute drill at the end of the game. That was big for San Francisco. So Sam Oh is operating behind Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos when Gross-Matos is back, and potentially Robert Beal, but there's also a chance that they like Sam Oh more than they like Robert Beal. Is defensive end still a position of concern? Absolutely, especially with the shade of red on these two players, on Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. But Floyd, when healthy, and you know, Floyd, even when he hadn't been healthy, he's been a good player. He's played in 108 straight games. He's an Iron Man. I think he's a good bookend to Nick Bosa. You just have to worry about your rotations. And Chris Kocurek likes to rotate at least eight defensive linemen through in each game to keep the front fresh. So he likes to have at least nine on the 53-man roster so that one of them can be inactive. We'll see if it's Sam Oh or if it's Robert Beal Jr. that's inactive on game days. If Yetur Gross-Matos is still hurt week one, though, then I think both Beal and Sam Oh are going to be active for 49ers Jets. This is busy, isn't it? We got a lot of stuff to go through. We're going to move on to the linebacker position, and then we're going to move on to the secondary before we wrap this up. After I'm done here, I'm going to be on KMBR. So you could tune into KMBR following the conclusion of this show. And I believe, I don't know if it's going to be Greg Papa. I think maybe his show's already done, but I'll be talking on KMBR, and then you could listen to the recording here. KMBR gave us permission to post that here. So we'll have a much more concise roster breakdown in case you only have a few minutes to listen. So stay tuned for that. Now I do want to move to the linebacker position. Warner, Devondre Campbell, Curtis Robinson. You notice that Dre Greenlaw's name is no longer listed here. That's because it's listed down at the bottom of the sheet. Dre Greenlaw is on PUP. By the way, look at this. Due to heavy collaborator use, some tools for the spreadsheet may become unavailable for larger audiences. That's because so many people are on. Well, if more people want to hop on, want to break the whole system, I'm going to go to the comment section and I am going to post the link. There you go. Looks good. All right. Where are we at right now? We are at... Oh, the thing is not scrolling anymore. That's great. Did I break the whole thing? That's crazy. I'm trying to scroll down. It's scrolling on my end. I think we have too many people. We have too many people on the spreadsheet. We have finally managed to break the spreadsheet. This is a monumental day in the show. I think we probably have 1,000 people trying to look at the 49ers roster. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reload this thing. But if I can't even get into my own roster, then I think we have a problem. Well, this is dramatic. Why don't I show you guys the sandwich of the day while I try to fix the roster? This is the Buster Posey from Reyes. Pastrami. Really, really good pastrami on Dutch Crunch bread. And now I will, again, I'm working on the roster. I'm trying to distract you guys with food while I try to take this and actually make it work. All right, there we go. The roster is working. All right, sweet. Back to the 49ers 53-man roster cuts. So there's so many of you on this thing that it doesn't scroll unless I restart it. So we're now onto the linebacker position. Warner, Devondre Campbell, Curtis Robinson, D. Winters, Demetrius Flanagan Foles, Tatum Bethune. And we could even put Tatum Bethune right there. I highlight rookies in green. Hopefully this works despite the heavy traffic. I think it is. Bethune made this team because he's a tackling machine. They waived Jalen Graham. I think both Bethune and Graham struggled to a degree in coverage. But Bethune was, again, an absolute monster when it came to tackling and run fits over the course of the preseason. What really, really impressive stuff from him in that phase of the game. So they went with the younger player. They're both seventh round picks, right? Bethune, though, was the seventh round pick out of Florida State in 2024. Jalen Graham was a seventh round pick out of Purdue in 2023. Maybe they can get Graham back on the practice squad so he can continue working on his pass coverage. Bethune also needs to continue working on loosening up his hips. But they went with the younger guy and more team contractual control, which is how the NFL typically works. Now, Dre Greenlaw is officially on the PUP list. With Greenlaw being on the PUP list, the 49ers, you could officially move Devondre Campbell up into the linebacker two role here. I think that Curtis Robinson was really good over the course of training camp, so I see Curtis Robinson as the linebacker three. D. Winters is hurt right now. He had to undergo an MRI. We'll get the results from Kyle Shanahan tomorrow. So we'll see if it's serious, if maybe they also have to stash him on injured reserve, but I'm not going to give him that designation yet. Flanagan Foles is one of the 49ers' key special teams players, and Tatum Bethune is obviously a developmental linebacker who they really, really liked over the course of the preseason. So there you go. That's the linebacker position. It is a strong, strong linebacker position for the 49ers. I think even without Dre Greenlaw, I think Curtis Robinson, you know, might even have had some trade value given the way that he played over the course of the preseason. Devondre Campbell was an all-pro just a couple years ago. I mean, Greenlaw makes him better. Don't get me wrong, but when you have the best in the game in Fred Warner, combined with a lot of intriguing young players behind him, that's better than a lot of teams. For example, you know, if we want more context here, we saw the Rams trade away Ernest Jones IV. For some reason, Sean McVay doesn't value linebacker play at all. And I think it's why he loses to Kyle Shanahan all the time. I think the 49ers are able to compromise that second level of defense with Christian McCaffrey and with George Kittle and their tight ends. The 49ers value off-ball linebackers big time. And the Tennessee Titans are the team that traded with the Rams for Ernest Jones. That's Rand Carthon, former 49ers personnel executive, is the GM there. Saw him sign Azeez Al-Shaair a couple years ago. The 49ers tree of teams really values linebackers. But for whatever reason, the Rams, it's not in the 49ers tree of teams. You don't have one of the descendant coaches there. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are really contemporaries. Plus, they both come from the offensive side of the ball. But the Rams look at things a little bit differently than the 49ers. All right, let's move on to that secondary for San Francisco. Charvarius Ward, Isaac Yiadom, who I think is really, really close to return to practice, is in there. So is D'Amato Lenore, who's going to be the 49ers nickelback. Then there's Ambry Thomas, who is an IR projection for me with a broken forearm. Renardo Green, the rookie. Darrell Luter Jr., who I wrote about yesterday, and I long projected to this 53-man roster. He had a nice training camp and a preseason. So Ambry Thomas is, this is a controversial player because, yes, he has given up big plays at the cornerback position. But, and I mentioned this at the start of the show, and I'll mention it again. Be careful what you wish for a cornerback. You have to make sure that you maintain as much depth as possible. In 2020, when the 49ers ran out of depth because they didn't have nearly as much, they went to Brian Allen against Miami, the guy from the practice squad, and it ended up really, really poorly for them. So they have to figure out a way to keep Ambry Thomas in the building, and he's not going to be taking up this spot for too long because they're going to move him to injured reserve tomorrow. When that happens, they could bring back somebody else. Maybe it's Rock Ya-Sin, the veteran who they cut today. Maybe they've got the wink-wink deal with Rock Ya-Sin. But for now, Ambry Thomas on the football team, he's there alongside Charvarius Ward. Yeah, Yiadom, Lenore, Green, and Luter. No other major surprises beyond that. If we want to go to the cuts, well, I know they cut Samuel Womack. Womack didn't have the best play, obviously, when he gave up the touchdown against the Raiders on Friday, but he did have three pass breakups against Las Vegas. There he is. The thing about Samuel Womack, though, I mean, this is a guy that splashed onto the scene in 2022 during the preseason. Remember Darquez Dennard, who had saved the 49ers down the stretch in 2021, but then just wasn't nearly as good. He kind of started falling off in that 2022 training camp and preseason. Well, Womack took the 49ers by storm then out of Toledo. Fast guy who they believed had some good twitch and some, you know, the appropriate size for the nickelback position. He played really well. I think he had two picks against the Packers in the preseason. The 49ers, though, since then have really shifted philosophically on the back end. They are looking for much more strength at the nickelback position. So D'Amador Lenore, barrel-chested guy, really scrappy guy. He does bring the strength that the 49ers have been looking for at that nickelback position. And a smaller player like Samuel Womack, well, since he doesn't fit the archetype for nickel anymore for the 49ers, they started moving him outside, and then Samuel just ended up getting buried by all this veteran depth that the 49ers brought in. So last year he made the team, but this year they've got Isaac Yiadom on the team. This year, I mean, Darrell Luter Jr. is back, and he wasn't available at this point last season. Rock Ya-Sin, who I think is going to have that Ambry Thomas spot, is on or was on the team and probably will be on the team again soon. They drafted Renardo Green. All of those moves pushed somebody like Samuel Womack III out of the 49ers roster equation at cornerback. Also, Chase Lucas, who was competing for the nickelback spot, gunner for the Lions last year. We didn't project him to the 53. He has also been waived by the 49ers. All right, moving on. Now we are on safeties. This is a good position to go through. The safety position, I'll scroll. Oh, good. The scrolling is working. Four safeties as we expected, and the good big news of the day is that Talanoa Hufanga has been activated from PUP, so he should be ready to go sooner rather than later. Hufanga, Jair Brown, Malik Mustafa coming off of the great rookie camp and preseason, and George Odom, one of the best special teams players in the league. Special teams, by the way, Tabor Pepper, the long snapper, Jake Moody, the kicker, Mitch Wishnowski, the punter. I project Cowing to be the punt returner, and the fellow rookie Isaac Grendo to be the kick returner. That is your 49ers 53-man roster. If you want to talk about cuts at safety, by the way, Jalen Mahoney, the undrafted rookie out of Vanderbilt, has been waived. I think that's a guy they really like to bring back to the practice squad if possible. And then they could immediately bring back somebody like Tracy Walker III, because he's a vested veteran, if they feel they need a little bit of backstop insurance for Talanoa Hufanga. But I would say along the defensive line, they waived Evan Anderson, who I project to be on the practice squad. This is my projected practice squad. I know that some of these things are incorrect, and I'll make some changes on the fly right here, because Patrick Taylor Jr. ended up making the team, so I'll erase him for the projected practice squad. We can replace him with another name. Ronnie Bell ended up making the team, so we can erase him. Nugent didn't. Kingston didn't. Evan Anderson got cut. $280,000 guarantee from Anderson for Anderson out of Florida Atlantic, which I think suggests that they're really looking at him as a practice squad guy. I think Barrett, who's been on the practice squad since 2019, is a good candidate there. Mason Plein, great candidate for the practice squad. Logan Thomas, we'll see. I'll have him on there. He might be a 53-man guy. We'll see what they're doing with him. If they can get Braden Willis to the practice squad, I'm sure they would love to have him. So I've got Braden Willis listed there after he was waived today. Jalen Mahoney, practice squad candidate. Jalen Graham, practice squad candidate. T.Y. McGill, practice squad candidate. And guess who else we have to erase? Sam O, because he's a 53-man roster guy. So right now I have three more practice squad spots. My counter here says 13. So I'm going to find three more players that I think are good practice squad candidates for the 49ers. But that's work that I'll do at a little later time. So that is your roster. Those are the 49ers players who made the team. I, you know, can repeat again who I think that the notable additions were: Patrick Taylor Jr. at running back, Ronnie Bell at receiver, Jake Tonjes at tight end, Sam O at defensive line, Tatum Bethune at linebacker. With the emphasis that this is only the rough draft, the fact they only carried two tight ends shows you that tomorrow the 49ers with some roster machinations are going to bring in more. Those roster machinations likely lie with Ambry Thomas and with John Feliciano, who are on the roster but are hurt. The 49ers need to do that, though, so they can bring them back later this year. Expect them to re-sign Eric Saubert for sure. And then we'll see if they re-sign Logan Thomas or somebody like Rock Ya-Sin. We'll also keep our eyes open for Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk and company. Williams not currently counting against the roster. Brandon Ayuk is. One of those players is holding out. The other one is holding in. All right, that's the 53-man projection. Much more intel coming later today. Hit that subscribe button. Also hit the notification bell so you know when my next video is coming out, as I'm going to be able to go through everything in detail. I'll go position group by position group as I work my way through San Francisco later today. Should be a lot of fun. All right, hit that sub button. We'll see you soon.